Wisconsin's beautiful Northwoods. 98.3 FM, WCQM, Park Falls, a Civic Media radio station. Available anywhere with the free Civic Media app. This is 98Q Country.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. This morning, a showdown over presidential power as the Supreme Court hears arguments on whether the president has the authority to fire the leaders of independent federal agencies without cause. It's been unlawful since 1936. Debate continues in Washington on whether Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth supports the release of the full video showing a September 2nd U.S. military strike on a suspected boat in the Caribbean and a second strike that killed two survivors.
Hegseth has said he only watched the first strike live and learned of the other hours later. But over the weekend, the secretary said that after that initial strike, he was told a re-attack was needed because, quote, there were a couple folks who could still be in the fight. He said he responded, Roger. Sounds good.
ABC Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce. The president said last night that the Netflix offer to buy Warner Brothers could be a problem because of the size of company it could create and the new company's combined market share. This is ABC News. The White House has released a new calendar that changes free entry days at national parks across the country. President Trump's administration has removed Martin Luther King Jr. Day and Juneteenth as free days and has added June 14th, that's Flag Day, and also the president's birthday. Pastor and activist Jamal Bryant's reaction.
This is a slap in the face, not just to African Americans, but to Americans at large. And then the narcissism unleashed to take it away from Dr. King and laud it upon himself, says that America's going backwards is in tremendous danger.
President Trump last night taking the stage himself at the Kennedy Center Honors and beforehand speculating on discussions about changing the Kennedy Center's name to honor Trump himself.
I don't know. I hear that, but I don't know. That's not up to me. That's up to the board. The board makes that decision.
Sly Stallone, Gloria Gaynor, and Kiss all getting Kennedy Center Honors. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
State and local news with News Director Austin Brume on 98Q Country.
Civic Media News is brought to you by Minocqua Chevrolet, your hometown Chevy dealer now 100% locally owned. Built on trust, dependable service, and real community values, visit them on Highway 51 South or at MinocquaCars.com.
On Friday, December 5th, at approximately 4:17 p.m., the Taylor County Sheriff's Office Dispatch Center received a 911 call reporting a missing person near the 7600 block of Perkinstown Avenue in the township of Hamill, Taylor County. The caller further reported that her husband had been out ice fishing on Washington Flowage, which is located near their property, earlier in the afternoon, had not returned to the residence, and may have fallen through the ice. Taylor County deputies, along with Medford Fire personnel, Taylor County Emergency Management, and Taylor County EMS personnel, were dispatched to the scene. Upon arrival to Washington Flowage, emergency personnel observed a single sled trail leading out to an open area on the ice. A sled was also observed in the open area of water. Wings of Hope and Bruce's Legacy were both contacted for the specialized equipment and expertise in open water searches, along with the Marathon County Sheriff's Office dive team. The missing male subject was located deceased in the water and carefully recovered. The deceased male was identified as 69-year-old Randall K. Runge of Medford. There is no indication of foul play. The Taylor County Sheriff's Office would like to extend their condolences to the family of the deceased, and they would also like to extend their gratitude toward the nonprofit organization, Wings of Hope and Bruce's Legacy, along with the other emergency personnel that assisted. This investigation is still ongoing, and no other information will be released at this time. Saturday, December 13th from 10 to 2, and Sunday, December 14th from 10 to 1, there's a holiday fair in the St. Francis Church basement over in Fifield. This will feature baked goods and fudge, Christmas crafts and ornaments, gifts new and next to new jewelry, and more. Once again, this is taking place Saturday, December 13th from 10 to 2, and Sunday, December 14th from 10 to 1, over at the St. Francis Church basement in Fifield. The Wisconsin State Climatologist's Office is looking for input on how to prepare rural areas for changes in climate and extreme weather. Isabella Nieto reports.
Amanda Latham is an outreach specialist for the climatologist's office.
We've organized this series of road shows in rural parts of Wisconsin because we want to hear from people living in rural Wisconsin about what types of extreme weather they're seeing, what types of weather changes that they're seeing, how those things are impacting them, whether that's for their career or whether that's just impacts in their daily life.
Their first roadshow in Rhinelander on Tuesday saw around 40 residents. Latham says attendees included public works employees, emergency management, and representatives from tribal nations.
We really just want to hear from those rural places that often don't get as much attention as those larger cities where there are more people to really talk about those impacts and see those impacts, as we really want to focus on what's happening in rural Wisconsin.
The state climatologist's office is working on several tools to help residents better understand the climate in their area and changes that could be coming. These tools are aimed at building weather resiliency, helping communities be better prepared for changes in the climate and extreme weather. Latham says one project, spearheaded by UW-Madison, is expanding a network of weather and soil monitoring stations across Wisconsin called WiscoNet.
So that's helping fill in some data gaps so people don't have to rely on data that's coming from the airport, which may be dozens of miles away.
Tuesday's roadshow kicked off a series that will continue with another meeting in West Salem next month. A third meeting in February will take place in the Central Sands region of the state. A date and location still has to be set. I'm Isabella Nieto for Civic Media News.
I'm Austin Bermain. This has been Civic Media News on 98Q Country. For more news, visit 98QCountry.com or civicmedia.us.
Marthala Chevrolet of Minocqua is now Minocqua Chevrolet, 100% locally owned and proud to serve the North Woods. With reliable service and hometown values, Minocqua Chevrolet stands out. They offer a full synthetic oil change for an everyday low price of just $49.95. And there's always a great selection of new 2025 Chevrolet models on the lot. Treating customers the way they want to be treated. It's a great place to do business. Visit Minocqua Chevrolet at Highway 51 South or online at MinocquaCars.com.
A win for Green Bay. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, cold and windy, over 78,000 fans at Lambeau Field. Watch the Bears and Packers battle down to the last play. Green Bay on top, 28-21. The Packers' Christian Watson with two spectacular touchdown catches. Now, the last time they played the Bears in Green Bay, Watson suffered a season-ending torn ACL.
Honestly, I tried not to think about it that much, but I mean, as the game was kind of getting going, it was definitely creeping to my mind a little bit. I mean, I'm just so thankful and blessed to be able to do what I do.
Bears quarterback Caleb Williams trying to tie the game in the final seconds with a touchdown pass into the end zone, intercepted by Green Bay's Keyshawn Nixon. Williams after the loss.
You know, rolled out and saw Cole and tried to give him a big boy ball, you know, but in those moments you want to put the ball in play. Just got to give him a better ball.
In women's college volleyball, UW Oshkosh swept Laverne to win their first ever Division III national championship. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On the local scene, quite an afternoon of hockey on Saturday as Team Seal, Screaming Eagle Lager Co-op team, hosted Ontonagon. It was a shootout. Well, not after the first period. It was only 1-0 after the first period as Cole Krause scored a goal for Team Seal to put them on the board. And then it was the Cole and Kellen Krenig show, as Cole had 3 goals and Kellen had 5 the rest of the way. And a good old-fashioned shootout, Team Seal with a win Saturday over Ontonagon. In hockey action, Team Seal wins it by a score of 11-6.
The Outdoor Report is brought to you on WCQM by Lakeside Property Services and Management of Park Falls. Find Lakeside on Facebook.
No matter what the season, let Nick and his professional team from Lakeside Property Services and Management take care of all your landscaping and yard care needs, from mowing to plowing and everything in between, including patio, walkway, and driveway lighting, yard beautification, and maintenance. Trust them to manage your summer homes with complete peace of mind. Just call Nick at 715-661-8114 at Lakeside Property Services in Park Falls, Wisconsin. Nick says landscaping should be the first thing you see and the last thing you worry about.
I'm Rob Driesline, and this is from the pages of the Outdoor News, brought to you by Onyx Fish. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources last week released its preliminary totals for license sales and harvest for the 2025 firearms deer hunting season. It's looking like license sales and harvest were both down just a bit. More details when we return, but first.
Whether you're hunting private or public ground, Onyx Hunt gives you the edge. With detailed land ownership maps, you'll know exactly where you stand. Add in advanced weather, wind, and radar tools, and you've got the full picture to plan every hunt. Now, with Moultrie Mobile Trail Cam integration, you can even see photos from your cams right on the map for smarter scouting and better stand decisions. Download the Onyx Hunt app today and start your free 7-day trial.
Welcome back. Preliminary figures from the Wisconsin DNR indicate the number of deer hunters in the Badger State has decreased slightly compared to 2024. As of Sunday, November 30th, sales for all deer hunting license privileges were at 790,044. That's down just 0.12% from the same time last year. Of those, 550,611 were for gun privileges only. Deer hunting license sales will continue throughout the remaining deer hunting seasons. Then the DNR will have final license totals in January. As for harvest, preliminary figures show hunters registered 182,084 deer during the 2025 gun deer season. That includes 86,000 antlered and 96,000 antlerless deer. Compared to 2024, that gun deer season harvest is down 0.8% statewide. Buck harvest is down 2.5%. Antlerless harvest is up 0.9%. This has been from the pages of the Outdoor News. Learn more at outdoornews.com.
This weather update is brought to you by Northwoods Realty. Find your dream home or pick from over 60 cozy vacation rentals, because no matter the weather, they've got you covered.
Northwoods weather. It is going to be cloudy with a few scattered snow showers today. Our high right around 18 this afternoon. Tonight, light snow. We may get an inch or two by the time everything winds down. And then tomorrow, more light snow with around an inch, maybe a little more, especially north. Our high tomorrow, 28. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 2 below 0.
At Northwoods Realty and Property Management, they know your house is more than just wooden shingles. It's your cozy shelter from the storm. Their realtors bring heart and integrity to every transaction, ensuring excellence every step of the way. Plus, with the largest local vacation rental marketplace, over 60 options to choose from, including homes, cabins, and resorts, Northwoods Realty makes your dreams a reality. Visit NorthwoodsWI.com today, and let's weather the market together.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Monday, Monday. So good to me.
What would you say you do here?
Monday morning, it was all I hoped it would be.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Monday morning, couldn't guarantee that Monday evening you would still be here with me.
What would you say you do here?
Monday, Monday, can't trust that day. Monday, Monday, sometimes it just turns out that way. Oh, Monday morning, you gave me no warning of what was to be. Oh, Monday, Monday, how could you leave and not take me?
I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Every other day of the week is fine, yeah. But whenever Monday comes, you can find me crying all of the time. Monday, Monday.
So, Gray, I truly do believe that if we had the United States of America to resettle all over again, we would have went more north-south than east-west. I think we would have landed at Plymouth Rock. We would have went to Boston. We would have went to New York. And then we would have just went north. Just went like a north-south United States instead of more of an east-west United States.
Generally, I agree, but I'm going to say they'd have gone south first, because I don't know...
what time of year was it that they landed? I think it was reasonable at the time, but you know, if you experience one of those northern winters, I'm thinking, you know, let's see, it was warmer to the south. Let's trend that way. And like, I'll tell you what, if they land in Orlando sooner than they do, I'm thinking we've got a very differently oriented country. Capital in Florida, yeah. Like all kinds of stuff would be different.
And if they would have just looked into the future, they would have been able to avoid 11 o'clock starts for a Clipper game on the East Coast. I mean, they could have avoided that if they would have just went north south. Yeah, it's really cold up there and warmer down here, but we could just throw out. Imagine how much easier life would be if we didn't have to deal with time zones.
We're probably offending so many geographers and historians right now. They're thinking these guys are idiots, and my response to that is thank you for noticing.
Well, but if we go north south, the time doesn't change, right? Right, generally?
Not as much.
I mean, if you go up into Canada, if you go straight north from here into Canada, right, it's still the same time, right?
Kinda.
But if you go an hour east of here over into Marquette, it changes by an hour and then everybody's confused.
That's true.
Can't we just keep America in one time zone?
Nope. That's the only way to make it worse than what we got.
I think we should just pick one time and go with it. All right, just spin the wheel and say, all right, it's 7 o'clock everywhere right now. It's 7 a.m. everywhere. Let's just deal with it, okay?
The people who make TV schedules, TV programming, they love this idea. Yeah. They love this idea.
So we'll delve into things that people actually thought we were going to talk about today, including the Packer-Bear game. Oh, we're used to saying Packer-Vikings for many, many years, but Packer-Bears yesterday. And this game, just entertainment value-wise, I said earlier this morning, Gray, was everything that we hoped as a fan. This was a nationally televised game. It must have got pretty good ratings because this was a good game, highly yes. entertaining game.
That was fantastic. It was a rivalry game. It was to determine the current state of the conference. I mean, yeah, it was, in short, everything it should have been.
Yeah, I said earlier this morning, and I will continue the statement because I said earlier this morning at about 7:30, with no follow-up to it, I said, I think the Packers may have dug themselves a hole that they can't get out of. And I know Packer fans may be thinking, what are you talking about? They're leading the division. They're almost the number one seed. But a lot of times when you look back at a season, you look back at games that you shouldn't have lost, right? That's mm-hmm. what you should have done. And I'm not saying that the Packers aren't going to... I think they might be one of the best teams. They're probably one of the top three teams in football right now. I believe that. But when you look at the schedule and you're going to Denver and you're going to Chicago and then you're going to get a Baltimore team coming in that's but they're going to be battling for their playoff lives, you've left yourself dangling a little bit there here because if you lose to Denver, you could go from the 2 seed to the 7 seed. Yada bing, yada boom.
Yeah, and actually we had a similar discussion on the Make the Call Civic Media Sports program this past Saturday. They were hoping, like, the question that we were kind of asking at the round table was, what record do you expect for the Packers, or where do you expect them to be in the playoff seeding? And I said, I have no idea. I have no idea because the division, the conference is so tight. The Bears fell from the 1st seed to the 7th yesterday, mm-hmm. from 1 to 7. And like, yeah, they lost and that's why they fell. But how far they fell, that's a product of what other teams are doing. And that's more true in the NFC this year than it usually is most years in most conferences. It's
they literally went from win that game, you're the 1 seed, lose that game, you're teetering on the playoffs.
Right. They did exactly what the Rams did last week. The Rams held the 1 seed before the Bears took it last week. And the Rams lost to who I don't recall, but the way I put it in my show that afternoon was they failed to separate from the pack when they had the opportunity to do so.
And now you've got 4 games coming up. Denver is the best team in the AFC record-wise. Then you got to go to Chicago, and then you host Baltimore. And then if J.J. McCarthy plays like he did yesterday, they'll have their hands full in that game at Minnesota, the last game of the year. So it's a tough schedule the rest of the way. And it's we're in week, what are the Packers, 9-3-1? Is that right?
Yes.
12-13. So we're coming up on week 15. There's 18 weeks. You gotta have like an abacus to do this, folks. You got 18 weeks in the season, but you only play 17 games, and the bye weeks are random. So some teams, I think everybody's had their bye week now, right?
I believe so. I think we're done with bye weeks as of like yesterday.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Packers are in a spot, but Denver is battling. Denver knows how important that home field advantage is. And even though they're basically a playoff team already, that's going to be a tough get. That the offense for the Packers will be tested against a really good Denver defense on Sunday.
Yeah. And if you want to know the list of teams who have clinched a guaranteed playoff spot of any kind, doesn't exist. Nobody has clinched.
Really?
Nobody. Nobody has clinched. And there are multiple 10-win teams. So, like, don't get comfortable. We're still in train wreck possible territory. Just ask Indianapolis. Oh, my gosh. I feel so bad for them.
They're basically, unless a quarterback steps forward this last few games, Daniel Jones is out, and they're probably not going to make the playoffs now.
No, they're toast. And even if they do somehow end up with a wild card spot, I mean, it's theoretically possible, but if there were anybody available to pick up off the street quarterback-wise, he'd be wearing purple right now.
Yeah.
So it's not looking good for Indy.
It's amazing how in a span of 7 days, we've gone from, and this is the National Football League, the emotions of it. Viking fans have gone from, we're never going to be good again. Aaron Rodgers, please come to the Vikings for a year. Save us. What a terrible draft pick J.J. McCarthy was. Everything's horrible. Now, just in 1 week, we're like, oh, Daniel Jones, I guess. Well, I mean, that's an unfortunate injury, but that's kind of been his MO, his career. And if Sam Darnold plops one in the playoffs like he did last year.
Yeah.
Viking fans all of a sudden are just like, all right, JJ, that was pretty good. We're all right now. 7 days later, we're just going to have a whole new mindset on how we're going to look at our team.
I kind of believe in Sam. Maybe it's just because he's not a Viking, but I believe in him more this year. I think he might be able to.
Because he has a good offensive line.
Oh, the system they've got going there, and with Jackson Smith and Jigba doing what he's doing, it's beautiful to watch. And I mean, they're getting special teams touchdowns now. Like yesterday, Rashid Shaheed brought one back 100 yards. Oh, I mean, that's when you're scoring on special teams or getting turnovers consistently on defense, there's a couple things that are just this magic seasoning on top of a good team.
Yeah.
And that's
what
Seattle's got going right now. They're so fun to watch.
Well, only 11 teams. You said no one has clinched a playoff spot yet, but in the NFC, only 11 of the 16 teams have a chance. We've got 12, 13, 14, 5 teams have been eliminated with 4 weeks to go.
Yep.
The Vikings are still mathematically alive, but they need the Bears to lose all the rest of their games to have any chance to make it into the playoffs. The Cowboys and the Vikings play the Cowboys on Sunday. So that's going to be a knockout game. The Vikings just knock the Cowboys right out of existence here. I'll just say this one final thing about the Vikings. The Vikings had, for the second time this year, their offensive line was intact, and they had more defensive players on the field than at any point this season also. The Vikings are not a deep team, but when their number ones are out there, they're better than most. And that win yesterday over the Redskins, commies, 31-0, people are just like, well, the Commanders aren't any good. The Commanders lost in overtime to Denver last week. I mean, and they had a 2-point conversion to win it. That wasn't a horrible team. And I'll tell you what, I watched the entire Viking game. The Vikings destroyed Washington. I mean, it wasn't even close the whole game. So the Vikings are not going to be in the playoff picture, though, unless the Bears collapse. And the Bears, like you said, they dropped to the 7th seed. And now they're a loss away from maybe being on the outside looking in, too.
It's silly. It's absolutely silly. Well, I mean, if you look at the AFC, there's two teams with 11 wins in Denver and in New England.
Yeah.
And then you've got nine wins with the Jags and the Bills, and you've got eights and sevens from there. The top five for the NFC, if you scroll down just a little bit, you've got 10, 9, 8, 7, 10. The Seattle Seahawks with 10 wins as the 5th seed. So there's kind of a big drop-off and no 11-win team to speak of. It could have been the Rams. It could have been the Rams. Like I said, they had that chance last week to separate from the pack, failed to do so. The Bears had their turn, failed to do so. Now they're in the 7th seed. But now at least the Rams have – see, that's just it. The Bears are one win away from being right back in it. If the Eagles lose and the Bears win this coming week, then we've got another pitched showdown of the year in Chicago on December 20th.
Well, let's do this for the final 4 weeks. Every time we do the gray area, We are going to, I will and you will say who you think is going to be in the Super Bowl today. All right?
Oh, man.
Today. So if you had to pick the AFC team that you think is going to be the representative in the Super Bowl today, who would you pick?
New England Patriots.
Really, even with a young quarterback, huh?
Drake May's got some things figured out that takes a lot of quarterbacks a lot of years, and Vrabel knows how to use it. Stephon Diggs is looking way better than anybody his age should look. He's not that old. People are playing later, but I don't know. It just, the vibe is there. The defense is firing on all cylinders. Robert Spillane just eats up everything that happens over the middle. I believe in them. I believe in New England again this year. I don't like it. Toby agrees.
Who's here?
Toby's a Pats fan.
Ding dong, Toby's here. All right, I'm gonna. Geez, I so want to go with Houston, but I can't do it. So I'm gonna pick the big orange machine. I'm gonna pick Denver, the obvious choice, but I am gonna take Denver.
Broncos in the Super Bowl feels so 2003.
It does. It feels like Elway. I mean, Elway would obviously be there at some point, but yeah, it does. It feels that way. And they're a sneak up team. They're just a team that, I mean, nobody really talks about them too much, and they just kind of do their thing and keep it going. And NFC, I'll go first on this one. The NFC representative in the Super Bowl, I am going to go with the experience of Matthew Stafford on this one.
That's a really fair pick. I was going to go with the Seahawks. I know they're currently positioned as the fifth seed right now, but part of that is because they are in one of the more ridiculous divisions. Now that the NFC North has some hiccups, I'd say the NFC West might be the most powerful division with the Seahawks, the Niners, and the Rams all in one tight spot. That's three playoffs teams from one division right now.
I could see the Packers going to LA for the NFC Championship game. I could see that happening.
Oh, that sounds like a nightmare. I'll be real. That sounds like a nightmare. I don't want that to happen, but it's very likely. If it's not the Eagles, I'm happy. I just don't like back-to-backs. It gets stale pretty quick. And hey, speaking of, the Chiefs are not going to be their division champs this year.
First time in nine in a row, they said last night.
In way too long.
So they haven't been eliminated from the playoffs, the Chiefs. They're going to need some help. They're going to have to win and need a couple teams to lose like three of their last four.
Yeah,
they're
in the weird math territory. Also, quick shout out before we leave too much of this behind. I can feel it in the air. You and I are playing each other in fantasy this week.
Jalen Hurts, big fan.
You sit poised for
an upset.
That's a major upset. You tied for last in a league of 12 people. Me tied for first. So it would be.
Is this the playoff? This isn't the playoffs.
No, next week is the playoffs. You'd ruin my seeding. I'll tell you that. I wouldn't be tied for first anymore. I don't have my phone on me, and I'm glad I don't. We don't want to get too far in the weeds with that. But
do I still get to be in the playoffs with like a 2-11 record?
No, you've been mathematically eliminated for over a week now.
Just like the Vikings.
So you're just playing spoiler. You're just being a jerk.
And it's not so much I had a great week. You just had kind of a little bit of a down week.
A little bit. Well, I've got Justin Jefferson and Rashee Rice, like these underperformers of all time.
Yeah.
And I had the Packers defense in instead of the Lions. See, that's my fault.
Yeah. So the Bears, by the way, on the schedule, we mentioned the Packers going to Denver and going to Chicago, hosting Baltimore at Minnesota. Three out of the last four on the road. The Bears get Cleveland at home. That's a watch-out game, but one they should get. Then they get Green Bay at home. Then they go to San Francisco, and then they host Detroit, the last game of the year.
Oof.
So you got the Bears and Detroit in Chicago. You got the Vikings-Packers in Minnesota, the last week of the year on January, what was that, 12th or so? Keep moving the season back another. No, January 5th, actually, that weekend.
Yeah, the flex date. It's a flex game, so the date isn't even decided yet. That's, I'm not sure I love that.
Yeah, keep an eye on the Packer times, by the way, because they are moving some of these games around. The Packer game this Sunday is a 3:25. I got that right? Let me bring up the schedule.
I'm actually not even sure.
I believe it is a 3. There it is. At Denver, that is a 3:25 game on CBS. And then the Bear game will be a Saturday night game, a Saturday, December 20th game. They will play in Chicago in Chicago.
That Saturday is it's a heck of a day in the wild, wild world of sports.
Yeah, they've already set the Christmas Day game, so I don't think their game that weekend after Christmas will be on Christmas, but it's still a flex schedule. So those of you who have tickets for the Baltimore game on the weekend of December 28th, they still have not set the time for that. I would guess probably a 3:25 or something like that, if I was to guess.
No, I remember reading the Christmas games are part of that Netflix deal. I don't think they were. I think they had like timely announcements on it.
Vikings play on Christmas Day.
Yeah, I don't remember why, but I don't feel like that was part of it. It sounds incorrect. I'd have to find that article again.
Yeah, pay attention to the networks. But right now, you can still get them for free for the next 2 weeks. There's no Prime. There's no Netflix. There's none of that going on. But the final 2 weeks might be different because they have meetings. NFL has meetings every day or every week, and basically on the board is a dollar sign with the millions of dollars. And what game do you want to buy from us? Basically is what it is. What are we doing?
Just a nightmare. It feels like getting through like a Ninja Warrior course to watch a football game.
It's like a Heckman auction. We should have Scott Heckman head up this sale, I think. He should be streaming this from his home and doing the bidding process for these NFL games.
You know, I'm super glad that the things I've been liking on Heckman Auction lately have also been of interest to other people, because I don't need anything right now. But it turns out I've got a knack for things other people want.
It's fun though, isn't it?
It is. It's really fun to look. That app is something else.
HeckmanAuction.com. It's a good time. More of the Gray Area coming up here on 98Q Country after our twice an hour news and sports.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. This morning, a showdown over presidential power as the Supreme Court hears arguments on whether the president has the authority to fire the leaders of independent federal agencies without cause. It's been unlawful since 1936. Debate continues in Washington on whether Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth supports the release of the full video showing a September 2nd U.S. military strike on a suspected boat in the Caribbean and a second strike that killed two survivors.
Hegseth has said he only watched the first strike live and learned of the other hours later. But over the weekend, the secretary said that after that initial strike, he was told a re-attack was needed because, quote, there were a couple folks who could still be in the fight. He said he responded, Roger. Sounds good.
ABC Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce. The president said last night that the Netflix offer to buy Warner Brothers could be a problem because of the size of company it could create and the new company's combined market share. This is ABC News.
State and local news with News Director Austin Brume on 98Q Country.
Civic Media News is brought to you by Minocqua Chevrolet, your hometown Chevy dealer, now 100% locally owned. Built on trust, dependable service, and real community values, visit them on Highway 51 South or at MinocquaCars.com.
Despite the recent frigid temperatures and heavy snowfall, the Wisconsin DNR would like you to please be extra careful when traversing any frozen water body. Those eager to take advantage of winter snow need to keep safety at the forefront of their preparations. Early ice covers may look solid, but they are far from it. The ice covers are too thin and too weak to currently support human or machine weight. Ice covers hide currents, debris, and underground springs that can affect the thickness and create weak spots. The DNR does not monitor ice conditions, however, they are monitored locally. Local fishing clubs, outfitters, and bait shops are the best sources for local current ice conditions. Remember that every water body has its own characteristics. Be sure to check if the lake has inlets, outlets, or narrows, is spring-fed, or has currents which can thin the ice. Some smaller lakes also can have aerators that run throughout the winter, either covering a large area towards the center of the lake, or smaller aerators placed by private property landowners adjacent to their shore and/or piers. Always carry a cell phone with you and let people know where you're going and when you'll be home. Wear proper clothing and equipment, including a personal flotation device or a float coat, to help you stay afloat and to help slow body heat loss. Take an extra pair of mittens or gloves so your hands can remain dry and warm. Wear creepers attached to boots to prevent slipping on clear ice. And do not travel in unfamiliar areas or at night. If you do happen to fall in, carry a couple of handheld spikes and a length of light rope in an easily accessible pocket or inside your sleeves to help pull yourself or others out of the ice. Remain as calm as possible, and while attempting to assist yourself out of the water, call for help as soon as you can. Anyone who attempts to rescue you is also recommended to use a rope or something similar to avoid falling through as well. You can find more information at dnr.wisconsin.gov. This Tuesday, December 9th at 3:45 p.m., there's a holiday edition of Teen Trivia Night over at the Phillips Public Library. You're invited to come test your knowledge about all things holiday season. This is open for ages 12 to 18, and refreshments will be served. Once again, this is taking place this Tuesday, that is tomorrow, December 9th at 3:45 p.m., over at 286 Cherry Street in Phillips. Specialized suicide prevention trainings are now available in the Hmong language. Isabella Nieto has more.
The newly translated materials come from a collaboration between local Marathon County organizations, the County Health Department, and Aspirus Health.
So you want to keep the core training there, but then while doing the training to ensure that it was culturally relevant to the audience that is taking the training.
That's Bea Lore, a program manager with the Hmong American Center, which helped develop the translated training program. She says when information is provided in a person's native language, it's not just about understanding words, it's about building trust.
They feel valid knowing that materials that are this important are also translated into the Hmong language.
The trainings are developed and distributed by the QPR Institute. QPR stands for Question, Persuade, and Refer.
The QPR training focuses on is like the direct questioning of someone when they're thinking of dying by suicide. It's harder to just have someone directly ask someone in the like that's Hmong if they want to die by suicide.
Laura says in the Hmong community, it's taboo to talk about death, and it's considered disrespectful to directly ask whether a person is considering suicide. She says the Hmong American Center worked with their partners to make sure the translated trainings were culturally appropriate and linguistically accurate.
The hardest part is for having things translated into the Hmong languages, we tend to more describe versus actually translating word for word. One person can say something and another person can say something in completely different words, but they have the exact same meaning.
To take a training or become an instructor, visit QPRinstitute.com. I'm Isabella Nieto for Civic Media News.
I'm Austin Bermain. This has been Civic Media News on 98Q Country. For more news, visit 98QCountry.com or civicmedia.us.
Martholar Chevrolet of Minocqua is now Minocqua Chevrolet, 100% locally owned and proud to serve the North Woods. With reliable service and hometown values, Minocqua Chevrolet stands out. They offer a full synthetic oil change for an everyday low price of just $49.95. And there's always a great selection of new 2025 Chevrolet models on the lot. Treating customers the way they want to be treated. It's a great place to do business. Visit Minocqua Chevrolet at Highway 51 South or online at MinocquaCars.com.
A win for Green Bay.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, cold and windy, over 78,000 fans at Lambeau Field. Watch the Bears and Packers battle down to the last play. Green Bay on top, 28-21. The Packers' Christian Watson with two spectacular touchdown catches. Now, the last time they played the Bears in Green Bay, Watson suffered a season-ending torn ACL.
Honestly, I tried not to think about it that much, but I mean, as the game was kind of getting going, it was definitely creeping to my mind a little bit. I mean, I'm just so thankful and blessed to be able to do what I do.
Bears quarterback Caleb Williams trying to tie the game in the final seconds with a touchdown pass into the end zone, intercepted by Green Bay's Keyshawn Nixon. Williams after the loss.
You know, rolled out and saw Cole and tried to give him a big boy ball, you know, but in those moments you want to put the ball in play. Just got to give him a better ball.
In women's college volleyball, UW Oshkosh swept Laverne to win their first ever Division III national championship. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Joe's Auto Glass in Park Falls invites all deer hunters and families to stay safe and enjoy top quality glass services. From vehicle windshields to residential and commercial glass, Joe's Auto Glass is a long-standing second-generation business known for exceptional craftsmanship. Keep homes and vehicles secure this holiday season with Joe's Auto Glass. Happy hunting and happy holidays.
At Northwoods Realty and Property Management, they know your house is more than just wood and shingles. It's your cozy shelter from the storm. Their realtors bring heart and integrity to every transaction, ensuring excellence every step of the way. Plus, with the largest local vacation rental marketplace, over 60 options to choose from, including homes, cabins, and resorts, Northwoods Realty makes your dreams a reality. Visit NorthwoodsWI.com today, and let's weather the market together.
Q.
Country.
It is going to be cloudy with a few scattered snow showers today. Our high right around 18 this afternoon. Tonight, light snow. We may get an inch or two by the time everything winds down. And then tomorrow, more light snow with around an inch, maybe a little more, especially north. Our high tomorrow, 28. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 2 below 0.
Gray Area with Joel and Gray, and I'm playing this different bumper song today because my wife pointed this out yesterday when this came up on our Alexa or whatever it came up on, music choice. She said, is this not the coolest background singer in the history of music? This guy right here? Just listen. It's coming. Here we go. Like a Richard Sturban, before Richard Sturban, Oprah Coy. Mike Sams is his name. Joyful. I always loved the backup to Elvis, the Jordanaires. I always wanted to be a Jordanaire.
I don't know if they had a uniform in your life.
Like the whole song changes when he comes in the background. It's great.
Let me change whatever's wrong.
Here it comes.
Wonderful.
Got that edge too. It's almost as good as Oom Papa Mau Mau. Almost. Yeah. I gotta let it play because he gets a little solo here. Right?
Let me be there.
There we go.
Let me be.
If he got residuals from that, or if he still does, gets like a 10-cent check every week.
Based on what I hear from most like songwriters, and say, no.
Yeah. Nope. Mike Sams, S-A-M-M-E-S, did the background on that. Great song. Olivia Newton-John. Joel here. Gray, this is the Gray Area. And if you have 2 or 3 hours to waste today, if you're just looking for something to do and you're a fan of the NFL, Google NFL Playoff Machine. 2 hours later, you'll wonder where the day went. It's wonderful.
I don't touch it. I don't touch it because I know of its addictive potential, and I'm aware of my personality type and the bad combination that would result.
I took about, after the Vikings won yesterday, guilty as charged, I took about 20 minutes, and I went through, and I clicked the teams that I felt needed to lose, and I clicked them all, and the last click I made was the Viking win in Week 18, and there they were, 9-8 in the playoffs. Huh. But that's all reliant on Bears losing everything down the stretch.
Right. And that's
not going to happen.
It's so silly because it's so easy to believe that the good team will beat the bad team. It's so easy to believe that. And it makes sense in a way, and it's usually even true. But, like, go back to that Packer game against Cleveland. Go back to the Packer game against Carolina. You know, those two stinky losses.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, the way I put it is, if the wrong person has good ideas, your good team loses.
Yeah,
and all you need is competence sometimes, which is why, you know, what you're looking at, that wild 9-8 possibility that is not going to happen, might just happen.
And there'll be more of a discussion about those losses if the Packers lose the next 2 weeks and they're 9-5-1. And they might need some help after that, possibly. 11-5-1 probably would get them in. That's not a guarantee. But it's not until something happens definitively that people say, oh, can you believe that Carolina-Cleveland? How do we lose those games?
Yeah.
How do we lose those?
That's why the NFC is so tight. And it's obvious once you say it out loud, but there's no 11-win team in the NFC. And there are a lot of 10-9-win teams. Voila. So, like, we need somebody to separate, and it might not be anybody by much. And I'm terrified. Like, it's welcome to anxiety. Like, small world is running through my head. Like, not good things.
I love weird plays in the NFL. The Giants kicker from, wasn't this past week, but was the week before that. Did you see that?
I don't think so.
Koo was his name? Is that his,
the Young-Wei kicker? Young-Wei Koo, yeah.
Young-Wei Koo.
Oh, when he pulled up on that kick?
Well, he basically planted his right foot into the turf is what he did.
Yeah, he pulled a Charlie Brown minus the head plant. But
you even watch it in slow motion, and you're just like, I can understand there being a mishit. I can understand that your plant foot maybe is a little bit awkward, but the distance that he missed, even making any contact with on that ball, is confusing at best. Since I've been 10 years old, when I was like 9 or 10 years old, I was told for physical reasons that I couldn't play contact football. The doctor said I couldn't play contact football, so I was going to be a kicker. So I punted, and I kicked a lot in the backyard, a lot. I had the bamboo pole lodged between trees in my backyard, like 15 feet up, and I would kick field goals. I did it a lot. And I thought, as soon as I thought to myself, I kicked on like slanted terrain.
Oh, yeah.
Horrible thing. Never once did I miss that bad, even at 9 years old.
Well, you know, I'm sorry, I've got to take the wind out of this for you, because I think it's actually been pretty well explained. He came out and mentioned it, but even before he explained it, a fan caught in the slow-mo that the bottom of the ball slips on the turf as Young-Wei is going back with his foot, and he saw that.
And he just stopped.
He pulled up.
Okay.
He pulled up. He aborted. And I don't know, like, I was talking to my dad about this. Do you have a word that you scream when something goes wrong so that the holder knows? Because either that holder picks the ball up and tries to get something done with it at that point, or he gets eaten alive by 300-pound dudes. So, like, you've got to... And apparently, that's what Young-Wei said, was he said he saw the ball slip, okay. He pulled up, and somehow, again, I don't know if they shout a word, like a code word or something, but that holder tried to get something done. Credit to him for pulling that ball up.
And usually when that happens, kickers will just like pull the leg up or swing it left or right. He decided he was going to go south with the foot. He was just going to... If you and I did what he did, we'd be in the emergency room probably getting our tibula repaired.
Something.
Or whatever's down there.
He replicated the braking system that dog mushers use on their sleds. Just hook the ground as hard as you can. Just stop.
It was too much.
Big red button.
And there was a quote, not this week, from last week's game, where the Jaguars punter, I don't know if you saw this, but there was like a flag thrown for unsportsmanlike conduct, and the guy was asked why he... what happened in the mix-up he had with the Jags punter. And he said, well, the Jags punter told me that he was going to kill me.
Yeah, he said a death threat on the field.
And a lot of other guys in the NFL were just like, that's all he said? Really?
Yeah.
we've heard that many times and worse.
Well, even the Jags coach, what he said was kind of wild out of context. He said, yeah, they say that kind of thing all the time. And it's like, that is absolutely absurd. But at the end of the day, it actually is kind of true. And, the funny thing is, there's worse reactions going on to that receiver over on the Niners, Juwan Jennings, who there were people getting punched in sensitive places a couple weeks ago now, and it turns out it's because one of the players on the 49ers was running his mouth to the guy who punched him in the sensitive area. And later a second player came out and called that there were a lot of names being thrown around, like there's a problem player, and like there's actually a very I can't say any of it on the air. I'm sorry, I can't properly tell this story, but if you don't have kids around and you want to laugh, just Google Juwan Jennings and listen to what other players have said about him these last 2 weeks.
I enjoy hearing post-career interviews with offensive linemen, because offensive linemen, there's so much going on there. And offensive linemen, generally, they're just not allowed, why they don't punch people more is an example of great self-control for offensive linemen, because they go through a lot and they get picked off a lot and they just get nailed a lot.
See, the difference is if I punched somebody and lost $50,000 to fines, it would be the end of my career and most of my life. For them, it would just mean that their kid can't go to college for one more semester at this prestigious university, because like that 50 grand means a whole different thing to those guys.
Yeah, it's a crazy, violent sport. It's amazing that the emotions don't come out even more than they do. That probably the reason why they don't is because coaches don't have a very long leash on guys who can't control themselves emotionally. So they'll put them on the bench really fast.
But they let them get away with it if they're good. It's amazing what you can do and who you can be if you're just really fast.
Yeah, sometimes. Exactly. And the punching of the ball now is something that's being discussed. And this is going to be a rules thing that's going to come out eventually about the difference between winding up when you're tackling a running back and you come in with that left roundhouse, you know, and you're looking to punch the ball out.
The peanut punch.
That if you miss the ball and you hit the running back instead, you know, some people are saying, well, that's a punch. It's a penalty. Technically, you should be thrown out of the game because you just threw a punch. So that's going to be addressed in some sorts, kind of that roundhouse punching out of the ball on defense is going to be addressed, I think.
Might be. I think, in my personal opinion, the intent can usually be determined. You know, if somebody's trying to hurt somebody or not hit the ball necessarily, or if they're going for the ball, but they're clearly willing to hit the person, I think it's going to show. I think you'll be able to tell. Now, maybe I'm wrong, and let's revisit that because, you know, three punches from now, I might have a different opinion.
Yeah, the chopping motion, obviously, you know, acceptable. You're coming north to south. That's fine.
Yep.
That's fine.
That one works pretty well. Or like, chopping of the wrists when somebody extends with the ball, that needs to stay. That's a game-turning move, and it's like, you stuck your neck out. Okay, I'm gonna slice you.
Yeah. My house got turned on its side on Saturday because my wife and I were... I committed to making rosettes, and anybody I've ever talked to in my life, and I've talked about rosettes. I probably more than a dozen times somebody wants to say, "Oh, they're good, but you don't want to make them. They're not fun to make."
What are they? Is it some kind of cookie?
It's kind of a flaky kind of cookie. Yeah, it's really flaky, but it involves oil and deep. You gotta put it in this metal thing, and you put it in the oil, and it comes out, and it's
an extra work cookie.
Deep fried. Yeah, it's tough. It's hard. But my wife and I were going to do it on Saturday, and my wife has her grandma's rosette fittings or whatever you call them somewhere in the house, but we have yet to locate them.
Are they molds?
Molds, yes. We located everything else in the house. I now know where several things are that I didn't know that I was. That's one thing nice about losing something that you really want to find is usually you stumble across, you spend the whole rest of the day like, oh, look at that.
All the things you hid from yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
Oh, that Christmas present from 2 years ago. There it is. I guess I can give that to my wife this year.
And it's funny, too, because half the time the stashes of junk that I find, it's just like, oh, yeah, I specifically did not want to find this. And now here I am interested. And then now this junk drawer is either going to get cleaned or get spread out across the house again.
Yeah.
And the cycle continues.
So the baking of the Christmas cookies, you got to be careful not to go too early on that. I was committed to still audibling and making my traditional icebox cookies on Saturday, but my wife nixed it and she said it's too early. She said, I can't start doing cookies in the house today.
One more week.
Maybe next week or next weekend. She said, because you know it's going to trickle in from listeners. We have great listeners who drop off stuff, and it just comes in. They just naturally come in, the cookies.
This is true.
And Rachel made some fudge, so now I got a little fudge.
That has begun.
That's a good problem to have.
Question for you. Based on an experience I know you had last year, maybe it was the year before, when you make your icebox cookies this year, will you brown the butter?
No,
because I know they weren't.
It wasn't, but I think I'm probably going to now.
It was really good both ways. I'll tell you what, browning the butter in any cookie makes a huge difference, but I was blown away by how different your icebox cookies were when Shayna did the whole brown butter thing.
Maybe I might have to go
a little of both.
Usually I double the batch. Maybe I'll just make a batch with one and we can have a taste test. This will be like this will be like the old Coca-Cola, the Coca-Cola challenge.
Oh,
all right.
Don't go new Coke on this though. Like, we don't want to use that as inspiration, but whether it's because you find a clear favorite or because you find you like both, I think both is the right move to make.
Yeah, yeah. And very rarely do we have that extra time to venture out, because usually people are just like, okay, let's make cookies. They're just like, well, I don't want to do it different because I just don't want to mess it up. But if you have that extra time to maybe do a separate batch, saying, oh, I'll put a little, maybe I'll try this over here as a sample.
Yeah. No. Constantly experiment, whether it's with food, whether it's with what you do at work. I firmly believe that life is based on trying new things and constantly asking yourself whether you can improve what you do. And that can be obsessive. You can take it too far. But I've never been happier than when I'm shaking things up. And when I talked to you about this a couple weeks ago. I basically asked you, how do I explode my crutches? I want to take those things that make my life easy and destroy them, because I want to see what I do and who I am when nothing's easy, but I'm still comfortable. Like, it's this sweet spot, yeah. Fine line. So brown the butter or try a different cookie entirely. Just get just weird enough.
And if you ever have a question of whether or not what you did is better or worse than the other one, bring it to the radio station. Me and Big G and Gray, we're willing to sample. We're willing.
Oh, yeah.
We're willing to lay ourselves out on the line and our taste buds just for you, our listeners.
Joel is laid back and easy. Rachel is experienced and super kind. Big G is Big G. I will give you a overly neurotic analysis. Like, you get a little of everything here.
If Big G is the only one here, though, you might want to come back, because it might. Have you seen the Cookie Monster videos? There might only be one person then sampling it. I'm just saying.
A good review for you.
By the way, I'm looking at our picks we did at the beginning of the season. Under 10.5 wins for the Lions. Nailed it. I don't have the other one, so I don't want to talk
we
about
it. We both went under.
I don't want to talk about. Did you go under that, too?
We both went under 10.5 for the Lions. And I might regret that, because they're still on the door of that.
Yeah, they are. All right, Gray. Have a great Monday.
Cookies!
Gray will be in this afternoon at 2 o'clock, 2 to 7 here on 98Q Country. Got a keyword coming up in just a couple moments. This weather update is brought to you by Northwoods Realty. Discover your dream home or choose from over 60 vacation rentals at northwoodswi.com.
Len Stankle, owner of Complete Rain Gutters, has had his mine in the gutter for over 30 years. Trust the expert. Call 715-499-4216 or visit CompleteRainGutter.com for your free quote today.
Looking for hunting land, cabin on the lake, maybe a large home for your growing family? Or maybe you're planning to build your dream house? Forward Bank has been helping families and communities since 1919. Come see the experts at Forward Bank for your financial needs. Get started today with the online mortgage application at forward.bank or call 762-2411 or 339-3223. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
We want your business to thrive in the Northwoods. Hi, I'm Courtney from the Park Falls Chamber of Commerce. Are you looking for more customers? Maybe you'd like to hit the ground running or to find a community of other business owners to rally around. We at the Park Falls Chamber of Commerce are here to bring your business success. Joining the chamber is one of the best moves any business can make. Find out how we can help you by calling us today at 715-762-2703 or visit our website at parkfalls.com.
Peters Sports Center in Phillips, your one-stop store for that sportsman or woman on your shopping list. They have firearms for everyone, from the hardcore hunter to the casual target shooter, along with compound bows and crossbows for that serious archer on your list. And the fishing gear for everything from bluegills to walleyes to muskie, plus clothing and boots to keep you warm while you're enjoying your favorite outdoor winter sports. So whether you're looking for a stocking stuffer or that special gift for under the tree, be sure to include a stop at Peters Sports Center right next to Pick and Save in Phillips.
Serving Wisconsin's beautiful Northwoods, 98.3 FM, WCQM, Park Falls, a Civic Media radio station. Available anywhere with the free Civic Media app. This is 98Q Country.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Supreme Court hearing arguments today on whether presidents have the power to fire the heads of independent agencies whenever they want, even without cause. President Trump's administration is fighting for that. There's still debate in Washington about releasing video of the strikes on boats in the Caribbean. The White House says were carrying drugs. Two survivors of an airstrike were later killed by U.S. military in a second strike. One battle after another, leading the Golden Globe nominations with 9. They were out this morning. For some, the cold is bone-chilling. For others, it's raining like crazy. Welcome to winter 2025. Here's ABC chief meteorologist Ginger.